The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are not necessarily representative of any other entity. This content is intended for mature audiences only.
Yo, what is going on, people? Welcome to Throw It, episode 406. I'm your host, Tony Polanco, and tonight I'm joined by Emilio Lopez.
What up, people? How's it going?
Chris Seeley.
Hey, what's up, everyone?
Carlos Romero.
Yo, yo, yo.
And Brian Majoma.
Apparently, the She-Hulk finale is really, really bad. Who could have known?
Yeah. So you're telling me that the finale of a show that was bad was also bad?
Yeah, apparently she breaks the fourth wall and everyone's not happy. It's like, well, duh.
She talks to a certain executive at the end.
Oh, does she start twerking too?
I don't know.
Are you going to talk about all the shows that we're not going to watch?
Yeah, right? Fucking ridiculous. All right, so no Adam action. He is with family at the moment. And Brett, I don't know if he wants me to get into it, but he is not... He's under the weather, so no Brett action. Maybe for a little bit. We'll see what happens, you know? So you're dealing with us five tonight, you know? It's crazy. Semi-interesting weekend gaming. I only really caught up with it today because there was so much shit going on, you know, in the tech world that I had to cover. Like, yesterday, so every few months or so, they have this thing called PepCom, which is kind of like a mini event where, like, you know, that tech companies hold and stuff. It's basically an excuse for tech journalists to get together and get drunk and shit, right? You know, eat some free food. So I was on the fence about going to PepCom yesterday. I'm like, I don't know. You know, because I went to the last one. It was okay. It's in the city. It's, you know, really easy to get to. After the days I've had, I'm like, I need a drink, you know? I was like, shit. Although I fucked up. They had these martinis, right? They were good. They had milk in them, bruh. At 3 a.m., bro, when I woke up, oh, man, those next 2 hours were not fun, you know? So I'm like, yeah, let's not do that again during the work week, you know? And I wasn't really hungover or nothing. It was the milk part that fucked me up.
Don't mind me. I don't know. I didn't know a martini had milk on it.
This one did.
Yeah, I thought, like, those were white Russians.
Yeah, no, this one had milk in it, you know? Yeah. It was like, oh, yeah, it's like a special one they have because always like come up with these kooky drinks at PepCom. It tasted good, though, you know? And it was one of those dangerous drinks, as I call it, because I was pretty fucked up afterwards. I kept drinking them. I'm like, shit, am I even drunk? You know?
It's the law of mixing more stuff into you know, these types of substances. The more different stuff you put in, the more dangerous it gets.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, I call it dangerous because it doesn't taste alcoholic. So you keep drinking like this, it's not going to get me drunk. What I mean by dangerous. You know, like those fruity drinks. That's why I try not to drink too many of those because you're like, this ain't no alcohol. You keep drinking the shit, you know.
And then like more alcohol than beer.
And then you move. You're like, fuck.
Like, why is the room spinning? I'm not spinning.
You know?
You're spinning.
Yeah, but yeah, no. What woke me up wasn't the alcohol; it was the milk. Man. I was like, "Oh shit!" You know.
In general, are you like sort of lactose intolerant?
I'm milk intolerant because I can have cheese. Cheese is fine. Ice cream's fine. Cheese products are fine. It's milk that's the problem. Mm. You know, which is interesting. Anyway, enough of my dietary problems. Let's get into some gaming news. Again, like I said, I found out most of this today, so I'll be surprised along with some of you guys.
What?
Okay. Although this first story doesn't surprise me at all. So apparently, Xbox, Microsoft went to PlayStation because they wanted to have Game Pass on PlayStation. PlayStation said no.
No.
That is not surprising at all.
Not surprising at all. Yeah, you know?
Are you kidding? You got Jim Ryan flying around advocating for them not to have the Activision Blizzard merger. They were gonna, hey, you guys want Game Pass? Of course they don't want it.
We do. Yeah. Of course, we don't want no Game Pass. We don't.
We don't want that. You know.
We don't want that.
Jim Ryan character.
Are you mad?
Jay Shep, yeah. No, I don't like. He goes, a nightmare for Tony, pancakes and milk. No, because I don't like pancakes. So, you know, like not a problem there. I don't like that shit. Anyway, so let me read this. This is from Game Rant. Microsoft has shared that Sony has chosen to, quote unquote, has chosen to block the release of its Xbox Game Pass subscription to PlayStation platforms. The ongoing acquisition of Activision Blizzard has led to a conflict between the two companies, as to PlayStation argues that Call of Duty on Xbox Game Pass would prove anti-competitive. Microsoft, in response, offered through the United Kingdom's competition and market authority, says that there's more to the situation than it may seem. Damn, they're getting petty now, you know? So did Microsoft go, oh, by the way, you know? Okay, so I'll just keep reading this. He said, I'm finding out about this shit. As shared by Tom Warren on Twitter, Microsoft is responding to PlayStation's argument that an acquisition of the Call of Duty franchise would, quote, tip subscription services in Xbox favor. In other words, offering Call of Duty games through Xbox Game Pass and no other subscription service would be an anti-competitive act that would irreparably harm Sony's own efforts. Microsoft has several arguments against Sony's point, many revolving around Sony's own approach to gaming subscription services. Yeah, because Microsoft was saying, hey, you guys are the biggest like player in town when it comes to gaming, so you can't be complaining, you know? And Sony's like, yeah, but it's going to hurt us if you take Call of Duty away. So things are getting a little nasty between the two, you know.
To be honest, all that talk about, hey, if you take Call of Duty away, that all that makes it look like is that Sony doesn't have a pot to piss in, and they're depending on third parties to fill in the space.
Yeah. Okay, so this is what's going on. Again, I'm reading more into it. So apparently, Microsoft was, you know, offering Game Pass to PlayStation, and that way it could be like, hey, we're not taking Call of Duty away from you. It's going to be on Game Pass. Oh, yeah. You know, so that's where Microsoft was kind of coming from. But obviously, you know, Sony's saying that the exclusivity deal is going to harm them, you know.
And I kind of see it from Sony's perspective. Microsoft and Game Pass is, you know, it's a library of games that you get to play, and you essentially just pay for the subscription service. And if Game Pass is available in the Sony platform, it'll undercut Sony's revenue that they get on their shares for the third-party sales. So if, for example, I don't know if a Plague's Tale is an exclusive, but let's say, for example, Plague's Tale is coming out, and Sony is expecting X amount of revenue just for selling it in their PlayStation store. But a lot of that revenue is going to get cut because it's going to come out day and date on Game Pass.
Yeah.
So a lot of that revenue that Sony would be expecting to get from the third party perspective is suddenly going to get severely diminished. And not only that, but Microsoft's going to be making the money. It's the whole Trojan horse. Game Pass is a Trojan horse.
Also, what would be the point of PS Plus games at that point?
Yeah.
I mean, Xbox can offer way more per month. They offer way more. So, yeah, they would have.
You know, again, if I've said this many times on the show, if Xbox Game Pass were to come to PlayStation, it would be heavily curated, as in it would probably only have Xbox exclusives. There was no way Sony's going to let them have third-party games on that shit, you know? But then again, it's going to kind of gimp Xbox Game Pass, so I don't know.
And not only that, and Chris mentioned the PSN Plus stuff. Sony pays for a lot of those free games for PSN. I think I saw a report, I think was it this week, that they paid like a couple of million for Ark.
Yeah, it was. This is interesting too. We could toss this into this story. So they paid 3 point something million for Ark, right, on PlayStation Plus, I believe.
Yeah.
And Xbox fucking paid $2 million to keep it on Game Pass for 3 years. Ark 2, you know, the one that's coming up. That's crazy. So Microsoft got the sequel for less.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
And
I don't know why anybody wants that fucking Ark game. Does anybody play that shit? I don't know.
Yeah, Brett, man.
You know? Brett was pissed about that game. Yeah. I don't think he liked that.
The new one has Vin Diesel. That's why.
I mean, the thing about it is that he was pretty disappointed with that game. Like, in other words, it's essentially, he called it consistently broken. So is that game like just a broken game that people just love to play? I don't know why Sony played that much for that game.
Honest. Well, people like it, you know. A lot of people play it, you know. Because it has dinosaurs. I don't know. Very interesting stuff there. But I know Brett stopped playing it because he played it with Rachel. When she passed away, he's like, nah, I don't want to play this anymore. You know?
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. Which makes sense, yeah. But yeah, it's crazy. I'm like, damn, Microsoft got the better end of the deal here with Ark, you know? Yeah, I don't know. I find this whole thing interesting, the money wars, you know?
And I said this, you know, the petty wars were going to begin sometime.
The petty wars.
it's been going on now, and it's, you know, we're barely at the beginning of it. And this Activision deal, and, you know, all the stuff that's going on with the Activision deal and the back and forth and the PR stuff. And it's crazy, man. But I'm not surprised. Obviously, you know, Sony not having Game Pass is not a surprise. It's not a surprise also that Microsoft wanted it on a PlayStation console because Game Pass does better when it's everywhere. You know, they don't, you know, if it's, it, you know, if they sell Xbox Series X's and Series S's, that's all gravy. But what they want is on the TVs, on the PCs, on all the consoles, preferably. That's their game plan. On my PC?
Yeah.
Ray tracing?
See, this is the kind of console where I like, you know? The companies are just being mad competitive and a little petty too, you know, which is kind of fun.
Little healthy virally doesn't hurt anyone.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. At the end of the day, they're being competitive, so Sony's going to have to step up in some kind of capacity, you know? But we'll see how that translates. But, yeah, I find it's very interesting that Microsoft actually offered to have Game Pass on there. Sony's like, nah, we're good. But, again, it was Microsoft going, hey, see, we're not trying to keep Call of Duty exclusive. What are you talking about, Sony?
Yeah.
You know?
That was definitely one of that would definitely be a loophole. It's like, well, you can still play Call of Duty on a PlayStation. You know, you just have to get Game Pass.
Yeah. But even now, it's still a loophole. Hey, we offered it to them. They didn't want it. You know?
Right.
Like, you can't call us anti-competitive. We offered it. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you, man. I know how these companies think, man.
That's the PR game.
Yep. That's how it is. Let me read this last part. It's unclear at this point whether or not PlayStation efforts will have any significant consequence for Microsoft. They won't. The Activision Blizzard acquisition is being looked at closely both in the EU and the UK, but that should be expected for any $69 billion acquisition. Even without further hurdles placed in its way, Microsoft's acquisition will likely be wrapped up much later than it would have liked. Oh, yeah, probably. I didn't think about that. But you're right. All this stuff is kind of delaying it in a way, you know. But that's a lot of money, so it makes sense. And it's like, you know, one of the biggest games out there, or if not the biggest game. You know, if it was like, but even Bethesda didn't catch this much scrutiny, you know?
Yeah, no one cared about Bethesda as much as they care about Call of Duty.
Yeah, but it's like, think about it. Like, if you're a regular parent, shit, like, oh, my kid can't play Call of Duty on PlayStation? What? You know?
Yeah.
Or some fucking lawmaker and shit. Their kid's bugging them, you know? Daddy, yeah, I can't play my Call of Duty. What?
That's how shit gets done. You just need the kids to complain.
That's
the parents.
I can't play Call of Duty. Wait a minute. You shouldn't be playing that game. That's an immature game. What are you doing?
They probably don't even know that, and they're a lawmaker.
He'll be like,
you know?
He's like, wait a minute. You want to play this violent game? Why are they giving these violent games to children? Sir, there's a ratings board. What do you mean ratings?
Yeah.
What is it? And then the politician, when it's like, oh, it's an M rated for mature game. Yeah, you can't play this game. Oh, wait, this is what you've been doing the whole time, and allows me to do whatever the hell I want on the side. All right, keep playing it.
Yeah. Right. Blitz says, as a parent, I'd see no Call of Duty as a positive. That's funny. I'm not a parent. I don't see it as a positive either. Hey, we could talk shit about Call of Duty because Adam's not around, you know?
It's the butt game.
Oh, no, hold on. It's the butt game.
Talk about that, baby.
Yeah, now we can talk shit about Call of Duty. Fuck Call of Duty.
What
are
you talking about?
Yeah. When we told him last show.
Hold on.
This year is different.
Run the tape back. You're right. Every year he goes, no, it's different this time.
It's gonna be
they got this mode.
Year.
They got that they mode. Got I'm telling
they
you.
They got Jada Pinkett in it.
Every year. Like, no,
what
no,
is it? circa 2014. No, this year is different. They got Kevin Spacey on this. And they, well, they got Jon Snow.
Yeah, they got Jon Snow. They got dogs.
They got dogs.
Every year, man. Nah, it's different. It's different. Yo, when I played this, oh my God. I mean, I'm telling you, the butter game.
Adam does love his military shooters.
They got ghosts.
They got ghosts. And they got now they're going back to World War II?
Yeah.
And they're going back to
World War II.
But you know what? You know the one game that he didn't care for? He did actually actively go against?
The future one.
The future one?
Yeah.
Advanced Warfare.
The only one me and Manny were mildly interested in. You know? They got spaceships in this motherfucker.
You know? I got to give credit to Adam because he's not a blind loyalist to the franchise. Like he'll call out that one. He's called out the World War II one from last year that he didn't like either. But Adam is like a super optimist.
Oh, he when loves it comes Call to Duty, yeah.
When it, like, yeah. When it comes to if it's a military shooter and it's a modern sort of military sort of stuff, he has an interest in that sort of stuff. So that's what he'll be like. Nah, this is gonna be different now.
They gotta have something.
Adam. All right, man. Anything else you guys want to say about the, you know, PlayStation blocking Xbox Game Pass?
It's going to keep happening, to be honest.
Yeah.
It seems like they're slowing it down for something.
Yeah. All right. What else is on the docket here? Speaking about Game Pass, it turns out that it actually generated $3 billion in 2021. I don't know if that's profitable yet, but that's a lot of money, you know? And apparently, we found this out through some Brazil or something. But it's legit. It's like it's for the whole world.
Okay. So, but the thing about it wasn't Microsoft that actually said this. It was just something that came out through some Brazilian.
Yeah, people started crunching the numbers. It's like, oh shit! It's $3 billion. You know.
Oh, okay.
So it's not a rumor. Like, you know, you can look at the numbers. It's all public knowledge. You know, it's just a matter of gathering the data, but. Pretty interesting. That's a lot of money. So obviously, Game Pass is not a flop, as some people say. You know,
Chris is like, "What?" It's like, "What?" I couldn't see that in all that garbage.
Yeah,
I've been looking at the financials for years.
Oh my God! I wish they would just make an Xbox separate like part. Like they literally give one like half a page to Xbox. They always call it like gaming services. They never call it Xbox. And it's like, like care more about this. Like I have to sift through like enterprise numbers and Azure and on their hardware and Surface, and then I get down to where they talk about Xbox, and it's like a tiny portion.
Yeah. Okay. So this is interesting. So, so basically, 18% of Xbox's total revenue came from Game Pass subscriptions. Obviously, the majority. And that's the other thing people always say. Like, oh, Xbox Game Pass incentivizes people from buying games. No, most people are actually still buying games on Xbox. Like, buying games in general, whether it's physical or digital. So that whole argument about how Game Pass, like, prevents people or incentivizes people from buying games is kind of BS, according to this. You know, that's very interesting.
Well, there was an argument a long time ago. And as a matter of fact, Nintendo made this argument when they got rid of demos, saying that demos disincentivize people from purchasing the full game. And it's like, that's a bunch of bullshit.
That's a lie, yeah.
Like, if you get a sample of a game and you're like, oh shit, I wanna experience this. Yeah, of course you're gonna buy the game.
Well, I'm not surprised I'm not surprised that the company that tried to sue Blockbuster, you know, said that shit. You know.
Well,
fucking
also think Nintendo, that, man. I think when it comes to demos. The problem with them is that, especially singular demos, is that it takes a while. It takes just as much time to lock down one of those demos in order to do it. And how many games have also been? You find out with a lot of those demos are essentially the full game, just you know, with a artificial blocker in the way.
Interesting.
That they've gotten hacked. So I think the thing about it is, I think Nintendo just doesn't want to spend the time in developing demos. Whereas with something like a Game Pass, which a lot of the games, obviously the first party games are all, you know, it'll stay down there for perpetuity, right? But some of those other games that have like limited times, you know, let's say you have one of those games, you know, and then you realize, oh shit, I can't get it now. Oh, hey, look at that. I can get it again, but for a little bit cheaper since I already played it.
Yeah. But yeah, that's pretty interesting stuff, right? But again, they are accounting for both software and hardware. So obviously Xbox consoles are factored into that, you know, the totality of Xbox's revenue. Mm-hmm. But yeah, there you go. We got Game Pass, and that's for 2021. I'm pretty sure probably did better this year, you know? I mean, granted, it's not over yet, but yeah.
With the Activision news, I'm pretty sure a lot of excitement has been gaining for Game Pass. I will say, though, after December, my subscription ends. I don't know if I'm going to continue it. We'll see how things are. But yeah, good for Game Pass. I do wonder, though, this shouldn't come as a surprise because, you know, Xbox Live was the big moneymaker for Xbox for years, when they were doing bad. So, you know, it's all about the subscription service. Xbox Live I don't even know if it exists anymore. It's all about Game Pass. Game Pass is your way to play online, to play all the video games that you want with the libraries they have. So, yeah, I not surprising for me.
Yeah, no, not at all. Not at all. I forgot about the, Xbox Live was like the big thing. Xbox Game Pass is still not the big thing yet, but it could be. You know, and like you said, after the deal is finalized with Activision, you already know. You already know those numbers are going to go up even higher.
Duty heads.
Yeah, duty heads, man. Oh, man. All right, what do we talk about next? All right, more numbers here. So Sony expects to ship 30 million PS5s in fiscal year 2023. That sounds lofty. Like they could barely get these systems out now, you know?
I guess the change in the tide is when Brett finally got the invite to get a PlayStation 5 after not getting it for 2 years.
Yeah, even though he does have one. You know,
he has one, but he only just got the email that says, hey, you want to buy a PlayStation 5?
Yeah.
To be honest, like, you know, number one, like, if you think about it, like, it shows that the Sony's things are not connected. They don't see that he's logging on with a PlayStation 5. Otherwise, he wouldn't have gotten that.
Yeah.
Right.
Stupid. Yeah.
So it's sort of a wasted thing. Like, I only got mine like maybe a few months ago in August. So I don't know. We'll see what the hat trick they're gonna eventually be pulling on.
Well, it might not even be a hat trick. We might know better because most of the fiscal year 2023 is already done with. I think it ends this March. So
you mean 2022?
Sorry,
2022.
Oh no! The fiscal year 2023 ends this March. So March 2023. Oh, yeah. So yeah, most of those PlayStations probably already shipped. So they should have a good idea of how many are going to ship by the end of the year. And I've been trying to look for the numbers for last year, but I can't seem to find them.
Okay, I got to read this thing. This is fucking crazy. Like, okay, like how they're planning to do this. I'm reading this from WCCF Tech. The PlayStation 5 is the mythical console that nobody can seem to get. I like that intro. With its increased price point. However, it seems like Sony wants to address this by selling more console units during the next fiscal year. This information was provided by sources that talked with Insider Gaming after briefly mentioning it in an exclusive report about the PlayStation 5 detachable disc drive version. I don't think we spoke about this one.
We did on the question show, I think.
Okay. Was I not around? I don't remember talking about that.
Because I remember remember Adam brought up the whole HD DVD with the 360.
Yeah.
And then we talked about it briefly, but
okay.
You know, it wasn't like a topic or anything or a question. It just got brought up.
Oh, it just brought up. Oh, gotcha. Yeah, because I was like, I'm pretty sure we should have talked about that. Anyway, here goes. So let's break through this information with some insight regarding the new PlayStation 5 version. According to Inside Gaming sources, production of the new detachable disc drive console is expected to start in April 2023. Carlos, that would be the end of that fiscal year, you know, with the console hitting the market in September of that year. It is also said that Sony aims to sell 18 million consoles in fiscal year 2022 and 30 million in fiscal year 2023.
Oh, so, okay, gotcha. So 18 by this fiscal year and then 30 by the next one.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, you know, that makes more sense. Yes.
Yeah.
Because it would be 12 more million then, right? If I'm doing the math right? Yeah. Oh,
Yes.
There we go. So I thought it was like 30 million period. Like, you motherfuckers are crazy. How? You know? It goes, what's going to happen to the quote-unquote old version of the PS5? Well, the console will completely cease production by 2023's holiday season. It is believed that the new detachable disc drive PlayStation is a means to reduce production costs. Moving forward, the company will only need to manufacture one console but have two price points of the digital and disc versions. Very interesting. According to the sources, this could mean that the detachable disc drive will cost $100. This is currently the price difference between a digital and standard PS5. This is true. So you might see a lot of digital versions of the PS5 with a disc drive attachment promotion or something like that. One thing's for sure, Sony is definitely looking forward to ramping up production of their hardware. Sony shipped an impressive 7.5 million kilograms of hardware. What the fuck does kilograms mean? Compared with... What the fuck is this shit? I'm not reading fucking... metric system bullshit. Anyway, so...
Hey, let's not slander.
Anyway, very interesting stuff right there. By the way, speaking of mythical consoles, the digital one is fucking mythical. I think I know two people on Earth that have this thing. You know? I wanted that one, you know? But I couldn't get it. Yeah.
Brett has one.
Adam has one, I believe.
So me,
wait, what's Brett, the mythical system?
The digital only version of the PS5.
Oh, yeah, I don't have that one.
Yeah, like Adam has it. I believe he does. And I know like Brett, one other person that has it. Brett, does he? I'm not sure which one he has.
Yeah, yeah. That's the one.
Do you think he does? He has it? I can't remember.
He does because when I bought Chris and Brett their PlayStations. And one of them had the disc version and the other one had the digital version. Mm-hmm. And that's why I asked.
Yeah, I got the disc version. But yeah, man, that disc drive is loud. Holy shit. Yeah. I barely use it now.
I noticed when you watch movies on it, it's not bad though, you know?
No, but when you play a game, I have,
you know,
Souls, I have it disc version and it's, oh my God.
Yeah, it's like, you going to space, bro? You know? Hold on, Blitz, he said something I want to get to. He goes, I can't imagine it not looking like some kind of dumb add-on. Yeah, okay. So are they gonna redesign the PlayStation? So like you attach this thing, like how is that gonna work? Yeah. Because I think even the most ardent PlayStation 5 lover will admit that is an ugly fucking console. It's a monster.
Yeah, it's like what are they gonna keep the same design? And then where the hell do you put the stupid disc drive? What, do you set it on top of the stupid thing? Where is this shit going to go? Because this stupid thing doesn't even have a flat side to it.
Yeah.
Or it needs to use a fucking, what do they call it? A stand so that it actually stands in any format. It's kind of stupid.
Yeah. It's horrible.
No, look at this fucking thing.
I'm looking at it now. It's like big black behemoth, you know? But why I call it black behemoth because I got the black faceplate. Let's fucking go, you know?
At least the one thing about that Bulls black flake. Face places, it does a good job of hiding the stupid ass thing.
It does,
you know,
yeah.
You have it hidden behind your TV.
Yeah, man, I could already see apes all around it, you know, like fucking 2001, yeah, get, you know?
We need to get you some little...
monolith. Oh, man.
Yo, have you seen the 4090? One of the 4090s is almost the size of a PS5.
Have you seen the size of that fucking thing? It's ridiculous.
It is fucking crazy,
it's bigger than an Xbox Series S. I am not exaggerating. Mm-hmm. You know? I'm like, how are you going to put that? Like, you would need like a whole thing. Well, actually, no, you do need a different motherboard for that, don't you? Oh, no. That's AMD. That's what I'm thinking about. You'll need
a different case.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the same motherboard. Like, okay, yeah. I don't know why people are like freaking out because it's the same size as the 30. Well, pretty much the same size as the 3090 Ti.
Yeah, I didn't say no about that though.
Brian. There is a new thing.
Yeah,
there is one 4090. I forgot which manufacturer. It's not the Founders Edition. There's one 4090 that is ridiculous in size. Like it's way bigger than even the. Yeah. Okay. That one is almost the size of a PlayStation 5, and I'm like, ridiculous. How the hell are you going to fit that in the case?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, what the fuck? You know? Which one was Founders Edition that's like that? That's all huge?
It's...
Look at the size of this fucking thing, you know? Remember back in the day where it was like, oh, tech's getting smaller and smaller. Now it's getting bigger. Like, what's happening here, you know?
You need to cool all that shit down.
That's what it is. Like, yeah, the transistors are getting smaller and shit, but the fans are getting bigger, you know?
He's more heat sink than man.
Yeah. Like, yo, man, we got smaller dice, but we got bigger fans.
We got bigger fans.
We got heat sinks for days. Yeah, that's what the PlayStation is. It's a fucking giant heat sink, basically, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's wild, you know? So, yeah, we'll see. 30 million PlayStation. In total, yes, I could see that. I could see that. But again, Blitz, I'm glad you brought that up. How they have to redesign it. Like, how, I don't know, where you would even attach this thing? Unless it, oh my God, could you imagine if you just plug it in and it's just like a separate thing that's not even attached to the actual console, like a external drive or something, you know? That's the only way they could do it, you know, unless it's like modular. I don't know. It's an interesting question. PlayStation 5 nanometer edition. We'll see about that, Mighty Nerd. He's been talking about that for years, you know? All right.
Hey man, what's the agenda?
Yeah. All right, let's get into it. Manny, thank you for bringing this to my attention. So the company that QA'd Cyberpunk apparently lied to CD Projekt Red. You know, yes. So Manny, what's going on here?
So we have to thank the fans for that one, because that actually showed up in Discord earlier in the week. So,
all these stories are from Discord. Shout out to you guys, man.
Yeah, shout out to you guys. So yeah, essentially what happened is that a lot of this one company that handles a lot the QA testing, you know, for a lot of different companies was pretty overtaxed, and a lot of their employees essentially decided to talk about what the hell was going on behind the scenes there, and apparently. Games like CD Projekt Red's Cyberpunk and I think a game for EA, both games that released around the same time, were both understaffed and didn't have experienced testers on them.
Uh-oh.
So what they were told to do is when they didn't have those experienced testers on those games, it would just essentially tell the testers to call out any bugs that they saw instead of actual instead of like real game breaking bugs.
Yeah.
So in other words, these superfluous bugs, like graphical glitches and stuff, were being called, but not things like, you know, I remember one of the missions was essentially stops all progress in the game, stuff like that, like real legitimate problem.
Damn, man. Is CD Projekt Red gonna, like, do anything about this? Like,
because
they were lied to, I don't know.
I think there's something about an article about it, but I don't know if CD Projekt Red knew anything about this, but if anything, they should sue these guys.
That's what I think,
because you were literally hired to do a job. And what I suspect is that possibly they knew that there was a lot of bugs in them already, but I think maybe, you know, if these guys were actually sort of doing their job, that maybe a lot of those really bad bugs that, you know, essentially stopped all progression in the game would have been addressed a lot earlier, as opposed to, you know, on hot fixes, you know, later on.
Man.
So who knows?
I'm going to read this stuff real quick. This is from Forbes. This is bullet point stuff. Manny already talked about all this, but let's just go through it again. Quantic Lab, that was the name of it. Quantic Lab over-exaggerated the size of the team working on Cyberpunk 2077 in order to keep the contract. Quantic Lab said the team was made up of senior staff, but it was instead juniors with under 6 months experience in QA. Quantic Lab had a daily quota of reported bugs, which led to CDPR getting thousands of relatively pointless bug reports from the testers, which took up a lot of time and caused game-breaking issues to not be found or prioritized. Everything you said. That's fucking wild, man.
It's never one thing.
Yeah.
You know, when it causes something to go bad, it's usually a bunch of shit that caused it to go wrong. So,
okay. Somebody released a video about it. I'll have to check this out later, detailing this entire fiasco.
I'm wondering if with this information now known, will CD Projekt Red take a legal action, because they essentially paid these guys to do a job and they did their job.
Mm-hmm. It's crazy how, you know, something as what might seem small as QA testing can have such a big effect on, you know, a big project like this. And, you know, we talk about QA. We know people who've, you know, done QA in video games before. And it's crazy how that aspect of the job for video game development seems to be like an afterthought. A lot of these people are contractors, you know, people that just get hired, you know, like real quickly and then get left off to move on to the next job when this stuff is important. You know, a game like Cyberpunk, which is a seriously massive title with, you know, doing things that other games have never done before. And it's, you know, gotta test that thoroughly because, you know, there's a lot of potential points of impact where bugs can be found, where, you know, game breaking bugs and stuff like that. So, yeah, doesn't surprise me.
Yeah. Real quick, and take this how you will, because it's coming from a YouTuber. Some guy called Legacy Killer. He spoke to his own CDPR sources and says that Quantic Lab's role in the game state at launch is being overstated, and much of it falls on CDPR management. Who knows? Again, when it comes to YouTubers, you can't really trust those guys. But obviously, you know, there was some mismanagement regardless, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Man, what is it? Again, this game is like, we finally had some good news, now we got bad news again, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, we got bad. The reason why we got all the a big reason why a lot of the bad news happened in the first place.
Yeah, but that's fucked up, you know. So they were getting, but the thing is, like, let's just say for the sake of argument that they were getting the correct reports, right? Would CDPR management delay the game? Because it seemed like they were helping on getting that shit out. You know, the upper guys, you know what I'm saying? So it seems like maybe it would have played out exactly as is. It's just, I don't know, but maybe they could have had a stronger case. Like, guys, this is fucked up. We need to delay this thing, you know?
Yeah, who knows? Obviously, the stuff with the higher management and CG Projekt Red, they're still at fault regardless of what happened with the testing team. Because they knew and they withheld a lot of those review copies for the different types of the different platforms, and only gave them the best of the best with the modified PCs and the curated yellow chairs, and that's how people were reviewing them. And so they knew
on PC and only the first act, which is the most polished act of the game. You know, so it's very curated. Although, as the article points out, it's a good point. Remember, even CD Projekt Red said, oh, the game is in a surprisingly good state on last-gen consoles. That was a fucking lie. And you can't say it was because the QA guys, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, that's the part that I'm kind of a little torn, because I don't know if they're getting word back. Because, you know, testing teams tell you the quality of your product.
Look at it themselves?
I don't know. I don't know how that works with CD Projekt Red. But... If their only source of quality assurance was that team, then there's really no way that they would know if the game was running, like, quote unquote, good. The developers, I'm pretty sure, were working on the bugs and some stuff they already knew, and they just didn't have a chance to, you know, review the game. That's why they relied too heavily on that team. That, you know, it looks like that team isn't part of CD Projekt Red. It's maybe an independent team or some other team from somewhere.
Well, it's a, you know, QA lab is just, you know, separate team. But yeah, either way, it's a fucking mess, man. But I got to check out that video, though, like explaining all that. That's interesting. All right. And I got to throw this in here. So a lot of, I know there's still some gaming companies diving into the NFT space, but obviously some others that die, you know, going away from it. But not Konami. Not Konami, they're diving full into this shit. So no surprise there, you know. Because remember, didn't they release that Castlevania NFTs earlier this year?
Yes, they did.
Which is fucking ridiculous. So now they're doubling down on this even more.
Wait, I got a more interesting pivot.
Yeah.
And I completely forgot. Remember Konami, during Tokyo Game Show, they said like they had a huge announcement. Do you guys remember that?
No.
They said that, I don't know if it was like supposed to be the announcement of an old franchise game or something like that. And I don't remember hearing anything from them.
I don't know. Manny would know if that happened.
I vaguely remember something, but I, to be honest, don't remember anything happening from that. Maybe the big announcement was the fact that we're doing NFTs. Who knows?
Oh, God.
Let me read this bullshit statement from Konami. We have been conducting research and development to incorporate the latest technology into games and contents and plan to launch a service where players can trade their in-game NFTs through a unique distribution platform using blockchain. All right,
guys. I mean, here's the thing. Like, if you, you know, if you notice, they're only trading with these NFTs within their own services. There's another studio that's also doing this too, where they're oh well, no, there's also Sony's weird thing about with not NFTs but digital items. So it's a weird sort of thing. And like, even with their with Konami's initial sale of the Castlevania NFTs, if you look at any of the paperwork for that stuff, you can't even sell that shit. So what's the what is this garbage?
Yeah. By the way,
go ahead.
Shout out to Mighty Nerd. It was Suikoden.
Suikoden. Yeah, the remaster of Suikoden 1 and 2.
Yep. Because I opened the article that had the teaser. It said Konami says it will announce a new game from a series loved around the world. So, man, not only are they not announcing new games, they're just doing, cleanups on this. They're doing NFT stuff. I guess that's what we can expect from Konami these days.
How the mighty have fallen,
I mean, if they're going to be doing legacy games, let me do some good legacy games. So, Suikoden was a good series. And a lot of it hasn't been out for a while. So, at least that's why. At least they're doing something, I guess.
Yeah. Can they even do a? I know they did Metal Gear Survive without Kojima, but can they do any of the older with the actual Kojima games?
They could do whatever they want. It's their franchise.
They completely control that franchise.
Yeah, it's an interesting thing because they did do Metal Gear Survive. So.
Right. Yeah, because I've always been curious. Why haven't they done anything with Metal Gear?
They didn't want to make it. They didn't want to make any big AAA games for a while. They're just now kind of using the throwdown term, toe dipping back in there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. A lot of the games that they're sort of putting out, which are new titles, but they're sort of smaller titles.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Because again, they just after like Metal Gear Solid 5 cost them so much money. Right, they were like, okay, we're gonna step away from this stuff for a while. Actually, they stopped like making video games for a minute. And then it's like, okay, we'll start releasing a couple, compilations or whatever. They even released the new Contra game or whatever, just testing the waters or whatever.
But, I mean, yeah, like they released that. What was that? That new they released those collections, which I have to say, all those collections have been very good.
Yeah, they've been well done. Yeah.
The Ninja Turtles, the Contra collection, and then the Castlevania collection are all well done because they got really good people to do them.
Yeah.
So, then they had this other new title. I can't remember the name of it.
Hold on. I don't know. Who knows? By the way, I need to shift gears right now. We're gonna do this. Okay. Blitz, I hope you're still there. Subgata, I need you to answer a question that Blitz had. Okay, you know how fanboys are, for console fanboys in America. Is that the same in Japan? Like, is it any? Because I'm guessing. I don't know. I'm just speaking out of my ass right now. I'm guessing it isn't like the same at all over there as it is over here. With the craziness you see on Twitter and all this shit, the toxicity. If you could give us any insight into that, because there he is. No, big nope. There it is. That's what I thought. So there you go, Blitz. There's your answer. I'll ask Fonzie though, but I'm guessing Subgata, he knows his shit. That's probably
Mr. Gita is the official Japanese correspondent of Throwdown. So
he is, yeah.
He is also our localizer if we ever need one. Gita lived there for years, so he has a lot of experience with that. And Fonzie though, he's been dealing with a different side of it, which is the sort of gaming side of it. So I want to also hear his
perspective. Yeah, I'll ask him. Yeah.
But it might just be the same. It might be like they're all a bunch of polite people that don't fucking curse you out or anything like that.
Yeah, they never had their Halo moment over there.
Maybe it's not Halo. Maybe it's like some other game. Like maybe it's like the Dragon Quest community is really toxic or something.
Maybe imagine that. you know, the dude's getting crazy over Genshin Impact over there or something. Who knows?
Well, no, we wouldn't get that's not a Japanese, so they wouldn't be getting
that. It'd be it looks very Japanese, though. Yeah, it'd be an actual.
Oh no, you know why they did that, right? It's a Chinese company that made that game.
Yeah,
and they don't want to get that. They don't want that sort of association in these games, so they went with a very Japanese feel.
It makes sense. So yeah, I wonder if the like Final Fantasy 14 like guys are toxic. I don't know.
Right.
Yeah. All right, that's going to do it for the news. So let's get into what we've been playing lately. I'll go first, since we talked about it. Cyberpunk's still playing it, still dabbling. I'm actually checking out all the different endings. There's like five main endings, so I've been doing that. Although I didn't realize I fucked up the progression in one, so I would need to kind of replay the game again to get to one other ending to get the trophy. But yeah, no, it's nice playing the game in a stable form on consoles, because I played it on PC. It was pretty stable on PC. A lot of little bugs and stuff, but it wasn't anything crazy. But on console, it was like almost unplayable. But now it's like really, really good. And I'm trying to get the platinum, but there's some shit I'm like, eh. But maybe I'll do another like run later on and stuff, because I was playing as a hacker and stuff, so there was some stuff I can't do, like more of the brawling stuff. But you know, I can't do because I'm just weak, you know. Although I like my hacking skills are pretty dope, but yeah, been playing that. What else? I felt like I played something else, but I don't know. But yeah, Cyberpunk, that's pretty much it for me. Chris, have you been playing anything lately?
Only small stuff. I'm still playing One Finger Death Punch 2. I played they had an update for Horizon Chase Turbo. They added more modes, so I was trying those. Just small stuff, because I was really sick last week, so I really I didn't have the energy to do much, so I just fired up, like, small things, you know? But, I mean, I have a huge backlog. I've been meaning to go back to Dying Light 2. I just haven't had the time to go back to it. And Horizon. I quit that. As soon as Elden Ring came out, that was it. I just jumped right off that one. I never went back, so I should go back to that.
Nice. Yeah, it's a good game, you know. Carlos, have you been playing anything lately?
I've been playing some chess matches.
Oh, shit.
And that's, I think that's pretty much it.
Yeah, not much going on right now.
Yeah, we're in the dog days of
gaming. Waiting for that Ragnarok. That's what I'm waiting on, you know.
Waiting for Ragnarok and Callisto.
Yeah, you already know. Gotham Knights is coming out soon. I don't know if anybody's interested in that. All right, Manny, have you been playing anything lately?
I haven't been playing anything, but I did get one thing in the mail. I got this.
What's that? Oh, No More Heroes
3.
Crazy.
It came out on PlayStation 4, so this is the collector's, like, what do they call this? The day one edition. So yeah, I got that going on, so maybe check that out. But I've been, to be honest, I haven't been playing that much, but I've been playing essentially EX Troopers or X Troopers for PlayStation 3, the Japanese, essentially the game that is Lost Planet Japanese. It's a fun game. But still playing it. I think I'm getting close to the end. We'll see what happens. But it's been a good time. I've been playing a lot of older games.
Oh boy. Oh, Sir Richelot is in the house. He goes, Carlos also said he can't wait to play Modern Warfare 2.
Hey man.
You gotta rekindle that flame. You had that love.
That flame is almost all but put out. I will tell Rich this. I'll play it if I don't have to pay for it.
You know. All right, Brian, what have you been playing lately?
I've been playing a couple of small games recently. So there's one game called Donut County. Mm-hmm. Basically, you again, it's very indie. Tony would hate it.
But yeah, I'm like, what the fuck?
Basically, you play as this raccoon who delivers donuts, which turn out to be black holes, and then you just basically destroy the world. So it's very, very similar idea to Katamari. Yeah, Katamari. So it's that type of just, it's a relaxing game. It's not a game that you need to think about and do stuff. So that's kind of cool. The other one is Going Under. So I actually really enjoy that. It's a, of course Tony will hate it, it's a indie roguelike game, but it makes fun of the startup culture. So it's very meta humor, very poking fun at startups and how they fail from every point of view, and that you have people who program who hate the job, people who are in finance who hate the manager because all they do is spend, the manager who just loves to spend crap. So it's kind of like poking fun of that. And the art style is kind of nice because it's, you know that, I think Manny will know more, you know that new art style that like all these companies are going towards, that, is it that SoCal art style? No, there's a name for it.
If it looks like a Steven Universe.
No, it's not.
Right? That
okay.
Bullshit.
That's what they call the Steven Universe style. It's
no, it's not that.
No, I know what you're talking about. It's the other art style, which is that corporate sort of like flat style.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Everything's in that style.
Yeah, a lot of the artwork these days, like corporate artwork these days, looks like this sort of weird, sort of exaggerated, flat, almost somewhat a jump off of the way like Art Deco like shapes you look like in the day, or like 60s art, you know, but just even more symbolic, or you know, figurative, you know, just like really flat looking characters. So the whole game is in that style.
Yeah. So it's a comedy game that knows comedy, unlike Saints Row.
Oh shit!
So, yeah. And also, as I was telling these guys, downloaded Guardians of the Galaxy last week. So nice. Haven't really played much. Like again, maybe like an hour or bit or so. So very starting things. And finally, Scorn comes out today.
Oh well, shit! Yeah, they were talking about it.
I guess on Friday.
Oh shit!
Yeah, so I'm eager to play that this weekend. So, yeah.
Well, looks like I have something to play then, you know. Actually, there is another game I'm playing, but I can't talk about it at the moment, you know. It's not a big game. But it is, but it isn't. Well, I'll talk about it another time, you know.
No, what I was a little disappointed at.
What?
When is that Capcom showcase? They said this month there was going to be an RE showcase.
Oh, I didn't know about that.
So there was a leak. It was supposed to be the 14th, but that's tomorrow. There's no way they would have put up on their channel. They would have put up a upcoming thing, you know, a scheduled placeholder, but they don't have one. So I'm like, where the hell is this showcase?
I don't know. I didn't know they were having a showcase.
Yeah. They said that at their last thing, they said, look for an RE showcase in October. I'm like, all right, it's mid October.
Yeah, let's go.
We're still waiting, man. That's my next plat. Let's go.
Yeah, right. let me read some of these comments. I saw Blitz said he's playing a bunch of shit. He goes, I'm still playing Cyberpunk, Splatoon 3, Tunic, Bayonetta 1 and 2, and a heap of old stuff I keep going back to. So my man's been busy, you know. And Return to Monkey Island. Cool. Yeah, I'll play Scorn. Because the H.R. Giger shit. Although I have a feeling, I hope this is not true. I have a feeling I'll play a game for like an hour and I'll be bored. And I'll just stop, you know, and it's on Game Pass, so it won't even matter, you know. I don't know. For some reason, something tells me it's like the first hour will be really like interesting and intriguing. But then like the gameplay will just end up being boring. So I'll stop playing it. Something. So my instincts is telling me that. I don't know why.
Your spider senses are going off, aren't they?
Yeah.
I can see that, Tony.
I hope I'm wrong, though.
I'm just hoping that it's like an atmospheric game. So that's what I'm looking for most. Like a good atmosphere and good story. Everything else is kind of, I'm not too fussed. So like Soma, but aliens, I guess.
Yeah. That's going to do it for us, people. Short show this week. No arguments. So
yep.
No throwdown. You know?
No throwdown.
Yeah. So, Manny, do you have anything to plug?
No, actually, I don't. I was waiting for a while to find out if I was going to be a part of Anime NYC. I was not assigned a table,
uh-oh,
so I will not be there this year. I mean, I actually, the people were really nice, and I actually talked to them about it. So, but it's all good. So I won't be doing Anime NYC. So that means I'm probably going to go see some Wasp.
Oh, nice.
Instead. So anyway, so yeah, so this November is not, there's nothing going on. I did just have a cover for DC Comics get revealed, or I think maybe it came out. I don't know exactly. No, but I Am Batman number 15 with the variant cover by Kari Randolph and myself has just got revealed, and they did an amazing job on the cover at the DC graphics team. They essentially went totally classic on it.
Oh, you muted yourself.
Yes. So they did a whole classic job on it, like, you know, classic, you know, Batman and Robin, the old DC logo. They even went to the point of putting a fake Comics Code Authority logo on there, which is kind of fun. So, yeah, that got shown today. So it looked really cool. I'm so happy with the work they did. So, yeah, that's coming out really soon. And, usual stuff. You know, stay tuned. Got all kinds of stuff going on behind in the world.
Yeah. Carlos, Chris, you don't have anything going on with the Coalition?
Yeah. If you guys are interested in The Walking Dead, we are currently in the midst of the final part of the final season, which is the final eight episodes of The Walking Dead proper. It's going to end pretty soon. We're covering it in the Coalition. It's Coalition with a K. The show is called I Am Negan. So if you guys want to catch the nuke, and you guys want to talk about, you know, Negan and all these guys, make sure to tune into I Am Negan. You can search it on all your podcasting apps, Spotify, and all those good places. But if you want to see the video version of it, we also put our podcast in the coalition.com. That's the coalition.com with a K. The last episode that we covered, and it just went up in the past 24 hours, is episode 3, which is called The Variant, which was a pretty interesting episode. It was a really good conversation. I was pretty down on that episode. So you get to hear me ramble for a while. And make sure to check it out. It's called I Am Negan. It's hosted by Mr. Adam Bale, who's currently not here today. But he does a great job at hosting, as well as Mr. Richard Bailey Jr., who is the editor-in-chief of the Coalition, and myself. So make sure to check it out. I Am Negan.
Yeah, nobody's watching that Black Adam movie, right?
Dana covered it.
Yeah, she covered it. Yeah, because
she went to the premiere, right?
Yeah. I Comic Con, I actually got like a ticket, like just for a regular person to go to the screening yesterday, but I went to Pepcom instead. You know.
Oh well, you need it. You need it. You know. You needed that. You needed that. That milk. That milk.
Yeah. Right. Shit. Maybe I should have went to Black Adam. You know. You know, Manny, by the way, Wednesday, Iron Maiden,
excellent.
Execute them, bogus. All right, man, so make sure you follow Throw It Out on Twitch and Twitter, subscribe on YouTube, and join the Discord, where the conversations and the rumors are always popping. You could find us on every podcast app on the planet. Throw It Out Show towards Throwdown Show, throwdownshow.com to listen to previous episodes. And if you have been watching us on YouTube and enjoyed the content, make sure you hit like, subscribe, and hit the bell to be notified. And especially if you're watching, hit like. That helps us out, you know? Like one of our episodes did very, very well, but no likes. Like, hit the like, guys. Come on now, you know?
Yeah.
If you enjoy the episode, though, if you enjoyed it, you know? We're not going to tell you, you know, because we're not those assholes. Like, 3 seconds of video, hit the like button, motherfucker. I don't know you. You know,
I haven't watched your fucking video yet. Yeah. What if I don't like it?
Before I start, hit like and subscribe. Why? I don't know you, bro. You know, fucking crazy. Anyway, links to everything down below. Once again, I was your host Tony Polanco, and tonight joined by Emilio Lopez.
See you next time,
Chris Seeley.
Hey, take care, everyone.
Carlos Romero.
Jesus.
And Brian Majoma.
Later, people. Take care now.
You already know. Sunday will return for another crazy episode. Later.
Later, guys.
Laters.
Peace.